It is time for the food maven, Arthur Schwartz. And without further ado, here's Arthur Schwartz.
Good day, everyone.
Ha, there we go.
You know, I have no outdoor space to barbecue, or so-called barbecue, grill food, which I wish I did. It's the one thing I lack in my life is a place to put something on a fire. So when it's the beginning of the barbecue season, I think more like it's the beginning of the salad season. And in this household, we've decided that we have to eat more salad. And that means, I have to say, me making my superb salad dressing. Every time we have salad, Bob gives me a compliment. So that's, you know, Pavlovian. I should make more salad just to get more compliments. I do get a lot of compliments on my salad dressing. And it's nothing but oil and vinegar, except that it's the best oil and the best vinegar. And although I do have some skill that makes this delicious, I always say it's the oil and vinegar. I don't know how much I can emphasize what a difference extra virgin olive oil, true extra virgin olive oil, there's a lot of fake stuff out there, and really good red wine vinegar. There is red wine vinegar in the supermarket that I can live with. Regina brand is a very, very common brand. And there probably are some others. But I do look for, I'm willing to pay, let's put it this way, for extra special red wine vinegar, which could cost as much as $8 a half a liter. But when you think about you only use a couple tablespoons in a salad, it's worth it. The same thing with the extra virgin olive oil. If you think about it as how much, if you bought a bottle of dressing, you would spend more than if you were making your own superb oil and vinegar. The other thing is, and I didn't realize this until, I don't know, you know, time goes so fast, it could be 10 years ago, that my friend Roberto, who lives in Rome all his life, looked at me while I was dressing a salad and said, "Where did you learn that? That's, you know, so Italian, the way you dress a salad." And because in Italian, there's no such thing as dressing that you make ahead and pour on a salad. To dress the salad is a verb, not a noun. So how I do it is, first thing is put in the oil. Let me give you proportions that I like. You can make up your own proportions because I think this is strictly a matter of taste. But I have a salad spoon that I've been using, you know, that you used to toss. It's a fork and a spoon. And I've had this for over 50 years in my life, this particular spoon, and it's a twin fork. And so I use two of those. I would say it's for a big salad, as we did have just last night, a salad that fills, I don't know, 8 cups of stuff, even more, you use 2-3 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil. And you toss that in. And then you add, I go with the next thing being salt. And for that, I mean, you have to judge this to your own taste, but I'd use 2 big 3-finger pinches of salt, toss that in. Then I use my vinegar. Now, the vinegar, I like almost half and half oil and vinegar. We like a vinegary salad. I would say, however, that half as much vinegar as oil is probably to most people's liking. Now, it's interesting, the classic French version of a vinaigrette is 3 parts oil to 1 part vinegar. I find that's too oily. I want more vinegar. But you decide.
For the record, I was taught 1/3, 2/3 from a French lady.
1/3, 2. Yes, 1/3, 2/3.
Yeah, well, that has always been whatever the oil and whatever the acid.
You know, as I said, I think this is.
But I mean, it doesn't matter. It's just that what half and half sounds obnoxiously oily to me.
I agree. So Roberto, you know, was watching my technique, okay. Not so much. By the way, you know, every Italian man is a food critic. In the case of Roberto, however, he's also a great cook. So he doesn't just criticize his wife's cooking, he makes his wife's food. and is Irish, by the way, and has no interest in cooking. I think every once in a while she bakes something. I'm not even sure about that. But anyway, Roberto, I was really flattered that he was complimenting me on my dressing skill. Of course, I put pepper in, too, freshly ground pepper. I don't measure it. and then last night, for instance, I added a big pinch of oregano. My Mexican friend recently gave me a big bag of Mexican oregano, and it's very, very powerful, I have to say, compared to my oregano from Sorrento. And my oregano from Sicily, it's the same taste, but stronger. And I really like it in a salad. And that's it. That's the it's not vinaigrette. It's just oil and vinegar. And you can add other things if you like. I mean, an herb, I guess. That's my basic. And we mainly have buttery lettuces and romaine. I mean, I like an all-romaine salad. And the great thing about romaine is that it holds up in the refrigerator, whereas the soft lettuces...
Just collapses.
They do.
And this is where we need Marshall to extol the virtues of iceberg.
I love iceberg.
I know.
I have on occasion just dressed it with oil and vinegar, salt and pepper.
Yeah.
However, I reserve iceberg
for
all the gloppy dressings. You know, the blue cheese dressing. I love ranch dressing. I make my own ranch dressing. You know, it's a creamy, thick Russian dressing is another one. We love a wedge of iceberg with that. And I like iceberg lettuce for a Greek salad, meaning tossing the lettuce with the feta and oregano and oil and vinegar the same way I do, but I add feta and I call it a Greek salad. Anyway, and cucumber.
And olive.
And tomato.
Olive.
So it makes a nice salad.
Yep.
However, there's another, it's interesting, the overlap here is that most people call that a vinaigrette, but in the, I guess, Soviet world, it was called vinaigrettes when it was Russian salad. What we call Russian salad, Lithuanians call vinaigrettes, and Russians call vinaigrette. And it's interesting, that there's a cookbook called A Gift to Young Housewives, which was the, I guess, joy of cooking of Russia until the Bolshevik Revolution, when they decided this was too bourgeois a book. And they stopped printing it. Maybe they banned it even. I don't know. Anyway, it has been translated by Joyce Toomre. Everybody raves about this translation. I wouldn't know. However, it's an invaluable book if you're at all interested in Russian food. So I have to say that what we call Russian salad, and the Russians call salad Olivier, is merely a footnote in this book under a title called vinaigrette. So vinaigrette was created by a chef named, I think it was Lucien Olivier, and hence it became Olivier salad or salad Olivier. And it really was a grand dish because, of course, he was... By the way, you read a lot about him all over in my books. I didn't look on the internet, actually. But I have read about him on the internet. And people say he wasn't French, he was Belgian. Well, it ends up he was born in Moscow of French and Belgian ancestry. That's why he had a French name. And in his original recipe, it's very, very grand in the sense that it has a lot of luxury ingredients and a lot of ingredients. Now, what we know as Russian salad right now in modern America is a potato salad with peas, carrots, and some kind of protein. Could be a poultry, like turkey or chicken, cut into dice, or it could be ham, it could be a beef, it could be any of those proteins. In the original recipe, however, it was the first protein offered is game or wild fowl, then veal or beef, then or boiled fish, such as sturgeon, pike, or salmon. Then you add 1 to 2 boiled or baked beets. Now, my question about that is, I would love to have beets in my salad, my Russian salad, but doesn't it make it all pink? I'm not sure I like the color. So you add beets and herring, 1 herring, 1 salted or fresh large peeled cucumber, 1 spoon of cornichon. Cornichon are the little
pickles. They're so good.
Yeah, they're French pickle, little pickles. Not our sweet gherkins, although that would work too, I think. Pardon me?
I just get a cornichon interruption, and that is, they're wonderfully not sweet. And I just need to...
No, I always keep cornichon in the fridge, and so that is something I put in my own Russian dressing. I find them handy for a lot of things when you don't have them.
Right,
anyway.
And I'm just saying
the Jewish line is, you want a green vegetable, eat a pickle. So I go by that.
Okay.
Pickles count as vegetables. As, by the way, so do egg rolls for me. But anyway, moving on. That was only half the ingredients. He wants you to put in 2 hard-boiled eggs, 5 to 6 marinated, well, whatever they are, some kind of mushroom, 1 spoon of pickles. I don't know what he means by that after the cornichon. And then 5 to 6 boiled, finely chopped potatoes, 2 spoons of capers, 3 spoons of sauerkraut, a half a glass of white beans boiled in salted water, and 20 pitted olives. Anyway, that's the ingredients to the original Olivier salad. I've never seen a salad like that. Mine is way simpler. It's basically a potato salad. So I have diced boiled potatoes, and then some boiled carrots and peas, which I use frozen peas, and I let them defrost, and then they cook literally in 1 or 2 minutes with a spoon of water in a skillet. So those, and then diced chicken. I mean, this could be a chicken salad you make when you buy a rotisserie chicken and dice up some chicken, or if you don't want to get a rotisserie chicken, how about some ham? I find the problem with... I love roast beef in this, but the problem with roast beef in this is getting the roast beef, which is to say, my butcher sells delicious already roasted meat, but when I ask him to cut it a half an inch thick so I can dice it, he's not happy. So, because they're used to having the machine set for thinly sliced roast beef. So, whatever you like. And then, for more flavor, scallions instead of onions, and, you know, sliced or diced as much as you want. I like to use a lot of the green just to give the salad some green. A pickle. Besides the cornichon, you could use another kind of pickle, like a dill pickle. I put in capers. Now, I have 2 kinds of capers in the house. The salted capers, which I use for Italian and Mediterranean food, but for this salad, I have no problem. In fact, I prefer the capers you buy in vinegar, the pickled, basically, capers in the supermarket. It's hard to find salted capers in the supermarket. Now, the mayonnaise, you use a heap of mayonnaise. I use Hellman's. I don't know about other American mayonnaise except the Duke's, which is wonderful, but hard to find up here in the North. I avoid Kraft mayonnaise. It's too sweet. I don't like the flavor, but it's also too sweet. Mayonnaise, you might want to add a spoonful at least of Dijon mustard and stir that in to give it a little kick. And that's it. That's the whole deal. But it's a great salad, and you can serve it for, you know, you can serve it for lunch for its own sake, or it can be a side dish, or it can be an appetizer. It's basically a fancy potato salad. Anyway, and we have a very, I must say, it's made all over the world, so it's liked all over the world, including in Japan. And interestingly, and this is all over the world too, when you leave out the meat, it's called French salad. It's because, you know, the Russian, before the 18th century, Russians ate very meagerly. You know, it's a very poor country. It's still a poor country. And I have to use as an example my Russian grandfather, who could have lived on soup. And my grandmother made several different great soups, mushroom barley, I must say, a lot of Eastern European Jews dote on mushroom barley soup. And why? Mushrooms were free in the woods, and barley was a cheap grain, so poor people, you know, wherever in the world, poor people invent dishes that are really savory, but they're really a basic, too. So in Russia, mushroom barley soup. And the other one, the big one, was all kinds of cabbage soup. And cabbage soup and beet soup, borscht. My grandmother made cabbage soup, which she called cabbage borscht. Had no beets in it, but it was sweet and sour. I still make this soup, by the way. And the recipe that is in Soup Suppers is a little off from what I do now. I think that recipe, because I was attempting to make it a main course dish, and I'm American, that meant putting in more meat. That recipe is delicious, but it doesn't need as much meat as is called for. And, of course, poor people never made stock. French aristocracy made stock. Eventually, Russia became Frenchified, and the aristocracy really ate French food, and I guess some of them snuck in a cabbage soup for old time's sake, but that was what the Russians lived on. And then, of course, when potatoes were introduced, and they're easy to grow in the climate and soil of Russia, the Russians started eating a lot of potatoes. When I was in, I was actually in Lithuania during the Soviet era, just at the very, very end. In fact, the day I arrived in Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania, was the first day in 75 years that they were allowed to fly the Lithuanian flag. But what I wanted to say about Lithuania is that you eat potatoes at every meal. I mean, potatoes were, in fact, made into sausage, into dumplings, eaten for their own sake. I didn't eat any potato soup in Lithuania, but I'm certain there must be potato soup, a big thing in Lithuania, because potatoes, in fact, they make these, they call them zeppelin, and they're shaped like a zeppelin, but I now know that Zeppelin was a person who invented that air transport. So I don't know why they're called Zeppelin in Lithuania, but they're potato dumplings. Anyway, that would be the mayonnaise, grandest mayonnaise-based salad. But, you know, basic American potato salad to me is comfort food, which is only, diced boiled potatoes or sliced boiled potatoes with mayonnaise, and I like to put in a little celery, minced celery, for a little crunch here and there. But you could just do the potatoes with mayonnaise. Do you ever make potato salad?
Yeah, I do, but I don't, you know, I'm not the mayonnaise person. Once again, we need Marshall. So I do it more vinaigrette. I do it more with oil.
Oh, you do vinaigrette? Oh, well, that's a nice potato salad.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, you go to New York City delicatessen, and I don't know, I don't do this very often, so I'm not sure it's there anymore. You know, so many things I reference, you know, they're just not there anymore. But, you know, you used to go to the, and there would be the American style with mayonnaise potato salad. There would be what they called German potato salad, which often had sugar in the vinaigrette. And then there would be another potato salad, which basically was just oil, vinegar. And I don't know, I think they put in onion or chives in the plain one. Chives are very good in a potato salad.
Yeah, chives are a really good invention.
Yeah, I was laughing about this the other day, but Jacques Pepin, who lives in Connecticut, is putting, you know, he's on TikTok, he's on Facebook, he's on YouTube, he's everywhere, and good, because he's great. Anyway, Jacques puts chives on almost everything.
Well,
and why? He has them in the garden.
Exactly. They work.
Yeah, I think so, too. Interesting, you know, long-time listeners will remember that I used to have an herb garden right next to my apartment building. Many, many years ago, when we were clearing the garden after it had been destroyed by some scaffolding, we found an 11-foot stretch that had no plants in it. So my neighbors at the time, none of whom live in the building anymore, said, "Oh, Arthur, why don't you plant an herb garden?" So I did. But eventually the building decided, not the building, the building manager, the hired woman who manages the building from afar, said it looks too messy, and they ripped it out. So now, what comes back? Some mint. I'm surprised that there's not more mint. I looked just the other day. And garlic chives. Even though the gardener has pulled out all the herbs and keeps pulling out, you know, volunteer things. I noticed the other day there are two big clumps of garlic chives. Now, I could use those garlic chives, but I want to let them go to flower since I love the flower. It's a white flower, I don't know what you call them, multi-flower, and it has black seeds in the middle when they mature, and you can dry them. So I'm going to do that instead of eat them. But, you know, chives are great. They're expensive in the supermarket. But I used to grow them all the time. And it's one of the first things that comes up in the spring.
Absolutely. It's how you know it's spring. I've always had a clump of chives outside, so I just use, you know. And there's a moment where it's just chive world. And,
yeah. Anyway, I had a laugh about this, but we go to an Azerbaijani restaurant here in Brooklyn, mainly because it has the best grilled meats around. Not like a steakhouse, but they have sensational lamb chops, ground meat kebabs called lulia kebabs, even their chicken. Just plain chicken is sensational on a skewer, and then little lamb ribs, and they have a lot of interesting salads. Now, I wouldn't order this all the time, but Mr. Harned loves Russian salad, but in this restaurant, it's called Winter Fun, and we've asked waiters, why do they call it Winter Fun? The waiters have no clue, but in fact, you know, it's except for the peas, it's made with all vegetables that you can get in the winter. So it could be in Russian salad, salad Olivier, vinaigrette, winter fun. And oh, I read one recipe recently for this salad made with tuna, but it's one of the fast day versions. Prohibited to eat meat on these Orthodox fast days, but not fish. So you can make it with tuna fish, and I think I may try that. Canned tuna.
All right.
So it's the beginning of the season with rain and clouds.
Salad expose.
Pardon me?
I said that's a good salad expose.
Oh, good. So we covered the oil and vinegar salads. We covered the mayonnaise salads. What's left?
I don't know. Do we have any more time?
Pardon me?
I said, I don't know. Do we have any more time?
I think we're out of time.
Yeah. So what's left?
Just out of
very
time.
Very philosophical question.
A good time to wrap up and say happy summer to everybody.
Happy incipient summer, and thank you, as always, Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven, on Robin Hood Radio.